Good morning, everyone. There is a legendary story of a machinist at the Ford Motor Company in Detroit who became a Christian. He responded to an invitation and was baptized. As the Holy Spirit began renewing this man, he became convicted of his need to make restitution for some parts and tools that he had stolen from the company after becoming a Christian, or before becoming a Christian. So the next morning, he brought all the tools and the parts back to his employer. And he explained to his foreman how he had just been baptized, and he asked for the foreman's forgiveness. This was such an amazing turn of events that Mr. Ford, who was visiting a plant in Europe at the time, was contacted with the details of the matter and was asked for a response. Mr. Ford immediately returned a message with his decision. He said, "Build a dam on the Detroit River and baptize the entire city." Now, I don't know the validity of that story, but I do know that Christ is in the life-changing business. And through the very Spirit of God, we have available to us the innumerable benefits that He wants to give us. And through the Holy Spirit, we have tremendous power that's given to us. Today, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and what we mean when we talk about the power that is available to us. John the Baptist had been preaching the message of repentance, as we discussed a few weeks ago, and John was a path builder. He was this human billboard of sorts, a voice pointing to Jesus Christ. However, John was limited in what he could do. He could not bring the Spirit of God on people. He could not empower them with the Spirit of God. He himself was certainly anointed by the Spirit of God, but his message was to encourage the people to prepare themselves. He said, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I cannot, am worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." You see, John is saying, "I can only get you so far, but he who comes after me will reach into your heart. He will purify your heart. He will renew your heart." Many were indeed expecting the Messiah, so they were encouraged by the words of John. But many thought John was just a strange guy out in the wilderness. And then something marvelous happens. Jesus walks up and stands before John. This is a powerful and dramatic moment in history. The Son of God is face to face with his last prophet. This is a great parallel with Moses and Joshua. Remember, because of sin of the people, Moses was not allowed to take the people into the promised land across the Jordan. They had to wait another generation. Then the mantle was passed on to Joshua, and Joshua took the people across the Jordan. There is such a neat symbolism here with Jesus. Jesus, who is fully God, yet fully human, is making a physical presence in the Jordan. He is partaking in an event that signifies our crossing out of our sinful nature and into forgiveness of our sins. By doing so, we are entering into a promised land of eternal fellowship with the living God. Look at it this way. Our physical baptism is the outward invisible sign of inward and spiritual grace. You can read about it in the Catechism of the Prayer Book. That grace, that is forgiveness, only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus is being submissive here to his call and introduces a new form of repentance. He is going to offer a repentance that no longer requires a temple sacrifice. Jesus is publicly identifying himself with the people he came to deliver, to take them over to the other side, a side of repentance into everlasting life with him. At this very point, the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are joined together with the human race in the person of Jesus, because something else, very physical and very spiritual, happens. Jesus is no longer recognized as just another Hebrew. He is filled with the glory of God. When the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, he was from then on standing out as a man like no other man. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Yes, he has had the anointing on him since his birth, but this is the actual beginning, or the anointing for his ministry to begin. Listen again to what we read. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Father here is fulfilling the words given through the prophet Isaiah. The Father is releasing the Son to do the work he was called to do, and he seals him as his Son, the Son of the Father. To John and those standing around, there's now no question as to who he is and what he must do. Jesus identifies himself with the human race, yet he is set apart. He is clothed with power. He is ready to do what he came to do as he is released into his ministry. And this is the point. We too need to be clothed. We need to be ready. God wants to empower us as well. Now, how do we know this? Well, Jesus said so. He said in his ascension, I will send you my comforter, the helper, who will work through you to carry out his will. And we see throughout the New Testament how the Holy Spirit worked through his church. Let's look at our reading from Acts today. And I want to make a point here about Acts. I've made this before. Acts is a recording of the very beginning of the church. And Acts continues today as the church continues today. That book is not closed. And the church will continue until Jesus returns. In our reading today, we see where believers had been baptized but had not received the Holy Spirit. And if we read further in chapter 10, we see where others had received the Holy Spirit but had not been baptized yet. Now, that might seem confusing to people, but it's not really. Remember, this is the very beginning of the church being released into ministry. And God works in different people's hearts at different times. It's the same Spirit. The important thing to remember is that when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have available to you all that God has for you through the Holy Spirit. We need to open those up. Our Acts reading today sits right in the middle of the dynamics that were going on in Samaria. We know the story, but in a nutshell, Simon the sorcerer, a person with real demonic power, has made a name for himself. Philip comes into town and he starts sharing the word of Jesus Christ, and people are coming to Christ and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John hear about what's going on. They come into town, and Simon tries to buy the Holy Spirit for his own arsenal of goods. And we hear these words from Peter. May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gifts of God with money. You see, salvation is a free gift given to all who want to receive him. Simon wanted to purchase something for personal gain. God wants hearts that are changed and repentant and come back to him into this relationship that we were created to be with, and then be used by him. And that is what I want to emphasize for us today. And we'll be hearing, like I said, more over the next couple of weeks on this. But you see, whenever God shows up, there will always be something that will try to be counterfeit. Now, what do I mean by counterfeit? Simon was using sorcery, and the only glorification was Simon, and the only end was spiritual death. And today it hasn't changed much. Many of the same enticements are still around and still try to pull people's sense of hope and direction. Many will search in all the wrong places. I'll just mention a few. Astrology. Seeking guidance through horoscopes and signs, or seeking guidance through the stars. New Age theology. Using crystals and other metaphysical means of seeking guidance. Some New Age philosophy believes that they can be their own gods, and we are guided by a common force. Mediums, people who think they can tell you your future and contact the dead. Some mediums have real power, but it's not God's power. And there are many more. We don't need to look at all of them, but you know for yourself, there's many more out there. If God is real, and he is, if the Holy Spirit is here among us, and he is, then we don't need to seek other spiritual means for guidance, because any other guidance will entice you but lead you down a path that is empty. Horoscopes cannot save you. Horoscopes cannot be in a relationship with you. Many of these enticements creep in on us because on the surface, it doesn't sound too bad, but it's not truth. However, because it does sound good and sounds pleasing to many of the metaphysical aspects of the New Age, it can actually creep into the church. And we have to be careful of that. You see, we are spiritual beings as well as physical beings. We are created to be in a spiritual relationship with our Creator. And when that is cut off, or when we reject that, the hunger for spiritual fulfillment is sought in other places. Maybe the horoscope has an answer for me. Maybe the medium that my friend talked about so much, maybe they can help me. That's why it's imperative that we stay grounded in our faith. It is important that we study together and grow together and be accountable to one another. It's important that we pray for one another and worship together. We support each other and encourage one another in the faith. This is the reason we have so much of what we do during the week with the Bible studies and the Wednesday night teaching and all the other things that we do. We do this so we can be grounded and learn and grow. We do this to encourage us and to support each other in our walk with the Lord. We do this so that God is lifted up as we come before him, individually and corporately. The Holy Spirit is an active part of the ministry that he calls us to do. Read about it in Corinthians. He has tremendous gifts available to us to carry out the ministries that we do. Without him, we could not do the ministry he calls us to do. Through him, all things are possible that glorify God, and we give honor to his name. Without him, we could do nothing. So how do we receive him? Well, it's very simple. We ask. God is not hiding from us. Usually it's the other way around. There's nothing more precious or invigorating than to know that God is working in and through you and wants to do that in and through you. The other day I heard a video testimony of a young FedEx carrier. That's a young girl who was making her deliveries after Christmas. And she went up to a house and knocked on the door, and this so happens, she just didn't leave the box there. This person was close and opened the door, and she spoke to her. "How was your Christmas?" She says, "It wasn't too good." The person at the house said it wasn't too good. And she could tell that the woman was distraught. And she said goodbye as she handed her package over. But as the girl drove off in her truck, and she made several other deliveries around the area, but the more she delivered, the more her heart was pounding for that customer that was at that door. And she got to the point to where she knew the Holy Spirit was telling her, "Go back, go back, go back." And she went back to that house, and she knocked on the door, and a woman came to the door, and she says, I tried to leave, but the Lord," she says, "I'm a Christian, and the Lord told me to come back and pray for you." And that woman fell into her arms as this young FedEx employee prayed for that woman who needed prayer so desperately at that time in her life. God does want to use us if we let him, if we listen to him. But it comes down to what we are feeding our spirit. What are we pouring into our minds? We see a lot of things on TV and the movies that are downright frightening regarding spiritual realm. I stay away from that kind of stuff. Some will twist biblical theology. I remember before I became a Christian, when I was in college, I stood in line for almost a block to go and see the movie The Exorcist. A movie twisted in every way, and the devil wins. I couldn't sleep for a week, and I wasn't even a Christian. But I had enough head knowledge about the church to know something. We really have to be on guard and protect ourselves when it comes to what we feed our minds. I'm not talking about censorship. I'm talking about being aware of what you feed yourself. We have to be mindful of the enticements that would take us away from the reality of who God is and what he wants to accomplish in this world. Some might think that sounds legalistic, but it's not legalistic. It's a matter of taking care of our spiritual well-being. The other day, it was last Sunday night, Debbie had to work. She worked, as most of you know, she works nights. She's a nurse. And I had to go up to Publix, and I picked up a few things. It was probably around 8 o'clock in the evening. And I drove up and parked in front of the Publix and went in and got some stuff, some frozen stuff, came back out the car, put my key in the ignition. I heard the dreaded, you know, and I checked everything to make sure everything was in place, the gear shift was in place and all that, and tried it again. And I said, oh no. You have that moment of panic, you know, that when that happens. And so I said, well, I can call my motor club and have them come out. That's going to take, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, and the frozen food's going to be, you know, melted and whatever. So I decided to go into Publix, and I went up to the customer service desk, and I said, does anybody happen to have any jumper cables? And they said, one of the managers came up, she said, matter of fact, we got some right here. So she pulled out from underneath the desk some jumper cables. And then just so happens at that time, a young stockman came out of the break room, walked across, and the manager said, can you get this gentleman a jump with your car? And gave him the cables, and we went out and jumped my car and got it running. We had a little conversation as well. And so then, of course, I realized, well, I'm going to need a new battery because that's probably what it is. And the next morning, I got out and got the car started and went off and got a new battery put in the car. And I was thinking, what an object lesson this is for what I'm going to be preaching on. Because if we think that we would need to take care of our car to get us from one place to another, to get us here this morning, we had to drive here, right? To get us to work, we have to drive, right? We have to take care of our car to make sure it's in good condition to get us from place to place that we need to go. Why do we think that our spiritual life doesn't need to be taken care of? Because it does. Is the spiritual realm real? Yes, it is. Is there a battle for your soul? Yes, there is. However, Jesus Christ has conquered sin. He has conquered the enemy that would separate us. So that he can move and operate in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, wherever we are. God wants to be a part of our lives, active and living in our lives. And by the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can accomplish anything that God has set a plan for us to do. When Moses approached the Jordan the first time, the people feared what was across the river. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to stand and accomplish any task that he places ahead of us. The Holy Spirit is not to be feared. He is part of the Trinity. He is God. He does not force himself on anyone, but he wants to so much to be a part of everyone who calls on his name. Allow the Spirit of God to fill you with his presence. Ask him into your lives. Ask him to work through you. Ask him to open those doors that he has for you. Talk to him. Allow him to come alive and be active through you. He wants so much to be a part of our lives. Don't let us shut him out. Let him in and let him be active in yours. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that comes into all who call on you. So, Father, I ask that you would so move in this place that you would continue to use us mightily in the task that you have for us as individuals and as a parish. Lord, shine through your people as we open ourselves up to you. Fill us with your presence as we open ourselves up to you. Help us to put aside things that would try to distract us, that would try to take us away from the reality of who you are, that we may be active in your life as you are active in ours. And we thank you, Father, and we give all these things to you and look forward to what you will do through each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.